Good morning, Boker Tov, Shabbat Shalom. Welcome back. Let's talk about this Torah portion, which is it's always an interesting one to do for a number of reasons. We'll talk about several of those. And I think especially this year, given what's going on, and especially this week, given what's going on, it is especially topical. It's certainly been that way for a long time, but I think what's happening now is that things are coming to a head where hopefully people will begin to see something in here that I don't think most of the whole church has ever seen before. And that is really where I want to emphasize that we take a deeper look this time. Now, I'm going to do something else that I only occasionally do, and that is that just last night, and I can look around the room and remember that there were several folks here who saw when this happened, I was, I think, very clearly given a title for the Midrash today. And it was based on what we see, and this is where I'll start, in Leviticus chapter 19 with a few verses that have to do with familiar spirits. Of course, we've seen this week the UFO file, long promised, finally at least starting to be released. Obviously, there's going to be more. So far, what's been released is, I guess I could say interesting, but it's been described as a little bit of a yawner or maybe a nothing burger. I don't think I'd go quite as far as a nothing burger. There are a couple of interesting things in there. But certainly there's more to come, and the big reveal is without question yet to come as well. And for that reason, I will point to the big movie. And I can't help but think Hollywood has had their hand in this for decades. So this is a real big piece of what we need to be paying attention to. June 12th. Is Spielberg's new movie. It's forecast, and this, of course, is the intention, to be the biggest movie open in history, breaking all the records. It's called Disclosure Day, and he's even said, hey, there's a lot more truth in here than there is fiction, so I take that with a grain of salt, too. But anyway, for all of those reasons, and for the verses that I'll introduce this with, this is where I came up with, or at least I think I was given the title, "You shall not eat with the blood," says verse 26, "nor shall you practice divination nor soothsaying." And I can't help but note that the key root in that verse in the original Hebrew is a verb that comes from nechash. And remember nechash? That is a word that most of Christianity has never heard, but it's the real name for the serpent, for the thing that beguiled Eve in the Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. So whatever it is, and it's not a snake, and it certainly could walk and talk at this time, but it was a serpent. I suspect it's probably closer to a dragon, but regardless, the real word is nechash, and that word appears in a number of places in Scripture. But this is where it's used as a verb to describe divination or soothsaying, something that is associated with spiritual or occult or pagan practices. And then a couple verses later, and we'll come back to several elements that are all kind of woven in here. "Do not turn to ghosts or wizards or unto familiar spirits." So there's the key. "Don't seek them out to be defiled by them. Ani Yahuwah Elohim." Now, what's also interesting, of course, throughout here, after he says, "You shall be Kadosh," y'all, that's Kedoshim, the name of the portion, "y'all shall be Kadosh, because I am Kadosh," or set apart, holy is the general English translation. But, Kirch, the problem is, most Americans, especially in the church, they've never heard in Sun God Day School what the heck holy really means. It really means set apart, but they picture it as somehow, you know, like what you might see somebody in a black robe with a little thing of incense. In other words, a fake that has replaced the real definition. It means set apart to him. The trouble is, they're not set apart to him anymore at all. Most of the whole church has been set apart from him because they committed acts of paganism and adultery, and as a result are in exile. Just like the whore synagogue is in exile, both northern and southern kingdoms, both Ahola and Aholabata, the two wives, the two sticks of Ezekiel, still all in exile. And that hasn't changed. "Do not seek familiar spirits to be defiled by them. Ani Yahuwah Elohim." And the problem is, if we understand exactly why he signs these things, and so many of the things that are in here, they still hate and do not acknowledge and don't want to do and will deliberately turn from. So, back here, I promised it now for a couple minutes. The title is Familiar Spirits, and I would say Very Familiar Spirits, coming soon to a theater near you. because this is where we are. And it's literally true in a very physical sense, and it's also true in a very literal spiritual sense as well. So for all of those reasons, I think we need to be paying special attention, and this Torah portion ought to just kind of leap off the page and speak to us. And as we were discussing some of this here just in the last couple of hours, I had a comment that I thought was particularly apropos. I've certainly said so too and agree with this, that the church, and when I say that, of course, you know, I often insert the word the whore church, because I do not think that most of what calls itself the church today is maybe the church of Jesus, another Jesus whom we've not preached, Paul warned about, but it sure as heck isn't the real one true called out assembly, kol idat, of the Creator of the universe and His risen Son, and therein lies the real rub. They've turned after familiar spirits, very familiar, but not His, and another Jesus whom we've not preached. How do we know that? Well, we read through here and we see what it means to be separate, called out in a sense of being set apart to Him, and we recognize that doesn't describe the whole church at all. It's been set apart from Him, and there it is. Okay. I want to begin with a couple of observations. We're going to talk about some of the Haftorah portion, the things that are associated with the Brit Hadashah readings from this one, because they all fit. And when we understand that the way that the church normally hears these things is not the way that we should be seeing it in conjunction with this scripture, I think this will make a little more sense. So let's start with this one. This one's one that people have heard. I've actually talked about it here not too long ago. 1 Peter chapter 1, and it starts in about verse 13. That's where the reading at least starts. Where he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, let your hope rest fully upon the grace to be brought to you in the revelation of, I'm going to change the wording here to make it right, the real, one, true, risen Mashiach, the one who was anointed, the one who didn't change his law, didn't do away with it, the one who in fact is the salvation of Yah, the Torah made flesh. That one. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, or actually as is added in the italics here, that's kind of interesting, not conforming yourselves to the former lust in your ignorance. And you know what? It's still true. The whore church is still conforming itself to its pagan lust. Why? We don't like the one who said we need to walk in obedience to Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. They prefer another Jesus whom we've not preached. But has He called you? Let me finish with Peter here, Kepha. But has He called you? Who is set apart? You should be also set apart in all your conduct. Set apart from what? Well, set apart for one, from the whore church that was set apart for Him, was put into exile for cause. He told us, He warned us multiple times, you're going to go into the land. If you keep doing this crap that they got kicked out for, so are you. And they did. And they're still in exile for those very reasons. And we see it, again, writ large in all of the things that are through here. And I don't intend to go through all of the things that I read last night in some detail, but I'll hit some of the highlights. But he does say this, and here's where the reference comes from. For it is written, you be kadosh, kedoshim, y'all, kedoshim. For I am set apart, kadosh. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, what? I can't just say the prayer and get dunked in the name of Jesus and then it's done and I get my get out of hell. He says it's a matter of what each one's work is done, conducting yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Well, fear of what? I got my get out of hell free card. I don't have to do anything more. That's not what Paul says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? If you're following after another Jesus, you might find that His blood doesn't count for much. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, not even like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers. That is still true. We still got the traditions of the whore church. Oh, what matters is your little Mary statues. What matters is don't eat fish on Friday. Oh, well, we changed that one. Okay? What matters is you can have a pork sandwich at the potluck, but it doesn't matter how you actually behave. And let's have Christmas and Ishtar and eat some bunnies and eggs and Christmas kinds of things. But forget about the Moedim, His appointed times, He says to keep forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. I've talked about this over and over again. We see it literally. This is the interesting thing. Almost every week. And yet the whore church still manages to ignore it while they do what? Exactly what Peter just said don't do. continue in your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Now, the irony is they'll say, well, I'm not under the law. What law was it that we were supposed to have come out from? Not the Torah, the instruction of the Creator. No, the fake crap, the so-called law from the rabbis, the Pharisees, those that said, we know better. So here's our traditions. What did Yeshua say? By your traditions, you've made the commandments of Elohim of no effect. This is consistent, but the problem is the Hort Church doesn't teach it. They don't get it. They don't see it because they've got another Jesus who supposedly did away with the law. I'm not under the law. They say it like they're real proud of the fact that they're lawless. The coming of the lawless one. We're going to get to that. All right? Lawlessness will abound. And that's why the love of many will grow cold. We've talked about that too. There is a real consistent pattern here, and it is absolutely antithetical to what we have been told in the Hor Sun God Day Church. Conducting yourselves in the time of your stay here with fear, or in fear. Fear of what? The Creator of the universe and His judgment. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the, and by the way, it doesn't say received, it just says the aimless conduct that literally was the tradition of your fathers, but in fact with the precious blood of the Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in what? The real, one, true Creator, author of Scripture, of the universe, who raised him from the dead, gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in Elohim. All right, now that's the gist of that particular reading. There's another one here, too. I'll hit one or two of these others. But where I'm going is a particularly appropriate place to understand as we're looking at this revelation of the UFOs and the UFO files and, of course, of the AI. And we've talked about the AI and the chance to have a fake God. It's kind of like everywhere you look, we got fake gods in different ways, right? What do we have this week? You have the cruise ship with the latest Fauci-fied flu. Oh, yeah, they bioengineered another one, gain of function. Hantavirus is nasty stuff, but it comes basically from inhaling rat poop dust. All right? Things that are literally contaminated with feces and urine. It's kind of disgusting, and it ought to be. Don't breathe it in. This is one of the few places where a mask, because dust is big, actually helps. If people are going to clean out cellars or old trailers or old buildings where it's full of rat poop, be careful. But as a general rule, the problem is you had to inhale it directly. Well, not now, thanks to you, Fauci and his follow-ons. We got one that seems to be, or at least this is the claim, do we believe it? Human-to-human transmissible. Booga, 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 be afraid, be very afraid. Don't be afraid of God, be afraid of the Fauci new flu and the hantavirus and all those things. Same week we get that. We're seeing the World War III, that's continuing. We're seeing the release of the UFO files. We're seeing the meltdown in the economy. We'll come back to that. But essentially, all of this stuff, along with the AI, is about something that looks so horrible, so scary, so booga, 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 deadly, that we can't trust the God of the Bible. We can't eat what he says is food and walk in a way that he says will provide you with health and blessing. No, no, we got to go to a replacement God. Is it an AI God? Is it a demonic or angelic or UFO kind of God? I suspect we're going to see a lot of all of that. But the point is, here we are at this cusp where so much is in flux, and the intent is to upend things and replace a lot of things that it turns out need to be replaced, including some things that don't need to be replaced. And that's the irony. And I've talked many times about the 80-20 rule, and I mentioned that here. I think most folks have heard me mention it. It's also called Pareto's Law. It's expressed in a whole lot of ways because it applies in a whole lot of different human endeavors. The first 80% of the job takes 20% of the time, and the last 20% takes the 80%. All right. When you mix truth with lies, one of the ideal ratios is 80-20. Take your pick, but start with 80% truth, mix 20% lies. People will swallow it up like a dog eating a bowl of milk. It's a great way, in other words, to deceive with truth. And then if you get caught, you can say, well, this is 80% true. So all of this is part and parcel of what we're seeing. It's part of the reason why I think the Hor Church is in such a mess, because there's a lot of truth in it. What's going to end up being the result here? All of it gets thrown away, including the stuff that was true, which never really was front and center anyway. So my concern, and this is one of the continuing themes we're going to see, is as people walk through this process, what they're going to do is throw away everything, including the stuff that they should have emphasized and made the 80%, well, they made it 100% up front. But that's not how it's going to work out because, as a general rule at least, people do not have the discernment. They haven't been able to recognize the fake Messiah so far from the real one. Why do we think that when the aliens come and tell us something totally different, that they're suddenly going to get it right? That's my prayer, by the way. That's my hope. That's why I think we're talking about these things and trying to return to what he actually wrote. Because if we do that, in fact, we will have the discernment. Be holy, be kadosh, be set apart, because I am. Set apart to what? To him. How? Through him, through his word, as written, not as you heard it in Sun God Day school, and not as Jeremiah pointed out, where we've inherited lies from our fathers. All right, let's go to another one. This one is perhaps a little bit more difficult, but it's one of a couple here that we're gonna spend some time on. This is the other reading today. It comes from 1 Corinthians, and chapter 6. We'll start with, it says in most of the literature, verses 9 through 20. I'm going to start a little early, as I always do, of course. We'll take a run at it. And then we'll make sure that we get this in the right context. Because, again, if we do not recognize that the difference between another Jesus whom they never preached and the real one is a chasm, then the rest of this won't make sense because it's already been turned upside down. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? That's verse 6. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Now, how come we don't know that? Well, for one, because the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover, the time when he literally foresaw and wrote it down and then acted out and fulfilled all of those things of his first coming and the time of the Pesach, the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is all about getting the leaven out. Why is a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Well, leaven is a mold. It's a yeast product. In other words, it's a living thing. It's in the air. It lands on the dough, and it grows, and it causes the bread to rise. And that is one of the symbolic and scripturally supportable things that we look at during this Feast of Unleavened Bread. If we don't know about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we can miss this. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf and not understand the very important significance in what he's referencing here. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you might be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. By what is this? The leaven represents the sin, the crap that creeps in, the paganism that was not only allowed but encouraged to creep into the whore church, right? We got our bunnies and eggs. We got Ishtar. We got Diana. We got all the various Roman gods. We got the mother, and she's equal to the god of the Bible. Oh, don't think that the mother and child and a whole lot of other stuff, folks, that is at root also, there are elements of Trinitarian and a whole bunch of other things that we say, well, those are foundational principles. No, they're not. They were added in. And people will go in and say, well, let's Christianize this or Christianize that, but they miss the bigger point here. Purge out that old leaven so that you are truly unleavened, in other words, ready to receive what is from the Mashiach. For indeed, and I'm going to fix this one, the Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. No, it's the Messiah, the real one. He was the Pesach lamb that was unblemished. And in fact, yes, that is the message of the real Passover. Not of Ishtar, of course, and bunnies and eggs and the fertility goddess. Therefore, let's keep the feast, not with old... Which feast is he talking about? Keep the feast. Oh, yeah, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which the whore church hadn't kept for the better part of two millennia, certainly 1,700 years. Not with old leaven, not with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. How do we recognize truth? Oh, answer, he's written it down for us. We have the ability to rightly divide the word of truth, to separate the clean and the unclean. Matter of fact, if you look and see, how does this Torah portion end? This is key, and it's also not taught anymore. You shall be set apart unto me, for I, Yahuwah, am holy, set apart. I've set you apart from the peoples so that you should be mine. And a man also who divines by a ghost or familiar spirit shall surely be put to death. Stone him with stones. How does he lead into that? Therefore, And therefore, is because as the end of all of these other things that he's been talking about, various kinds of sexual sin and the crimes, and in this case, the penalties for them, you shall separate between the clean beast and the unclean. Clean and unclean beast. In other words, what's food and what's not? Well, hell, the church didn't care about that. Have a pork sandwich. Isn't that ironic? Therefore, after all of this jazz about being separate and understanding the difference, because he says it over and over again, Ani Yahuwah, you shall separate between the clean beast and the unclean, between the clean and unclean fowl. Do not make your souls what? Detestable by beast or by fowl or by anything that the ground teems with, because I have set you apart to hold those things unclean. In other words, you don't eat that crap. And furthermore, and I've mentioned this many times, and I encourage people, pay attention. Deuteronomy 28, 60 and 61. He says, if you walk in obedience to me, great, you're going to have wonderful health. If you don't, I'm going to bring all those diseases that I brought upon Mitzrayim, Egypt, that you were so scared of. Oh, and that's not all. There's going to even be new ones. We'll have people like Satanic Elements, Dr. Mengele, and Tony Fauci. They'll come up with some new wonderful diseases, mixing old stuff. Isn't it ironic? Mixing is prohibited too. Mixing cattle with diverse kinds. Well, how about mixing diseases with pig genes and diverse kinds? There's your mixing the clean and the unclean. How's that going to kill people? Answer, we've seen it. We saw it with COVID, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Just wait till you see what they're going to do with hantavirus and what they've already done with no doubt Ebola and half a dozen others. You start, folks, in designing bioweapons by helping them to jump the species barrier and infect mankind. How do you do that? By mixing the clean and the unclean, by mixing pig genes, which will literally, if you look at history and you look at medicine, almost all the major pandemics came through pigs, swine flus of various kinds. All right, this rat stuff, you got to breathe the rat feces in order to get it. But wait, no! Thank you, Tony! We got better diseases now. And maybe they succeeded, maybe they didn't, but you're supposed to believe this. We can jump that species barrier. He says it again. It's important that you eat what I tell you is food. You're to be set apart to me. Do not make your souls detestable by eating this crap which isn't food. Because I've set you apart to hold these things. Well, no, the whole church doesn't do that. We don't care about that anymore. That's all old stuff. That's all done away with stuff. Why? How do we know that? Because another Jesus, who never was in fact the real Son of God, did away with the law. He just finished saying, if you read his word, that he didn't, he wasn't, he wouldn't, as long as heaven and earth still existed. What do they tell you? He did away with it. They are liars and the truth is not in them. Read what John, his brother, wrote. Same thing. They are liars and the truth is not in them. And they call him a liar because he said he wasn't going to do it, and they say he did. If there is ever a place, folks, and a time where we need to hold fast to the real truth, this is now. Now, I've heard any number of people that I have respect for, but still they miss a lot of the point, saying, oh, this is a time when you got to hold fast to Jesus Christ, the one that we know. Well, do you know the real one or do you not? If you don't know his name, I have suspicions. I know some people that will say, oh, yeah, I know his real name was Yeshua, but I was introduced to him as Jesus Christ. Okay, well, maybe you've learned enough now to be able to make that distinction. I guarantee you there are other people that don't. That haven't. So I prefer, I'm not going to say this is a quote-unquote salvation issue, but I prefer to make sure we understand, if I want to know which one I'm talking about, the fake or the real, let's use the real name as opposed to the fake name. And you know, the name Jesus didn't exist for 16 centuries after he walked the earth in human form. Does it matter if we get the name wrong? Call him Fred? Honestly, folks, I don't think it's any... Well, let's just put it this way. I think probably I'd rather have somebody call him Fred and get his character right than call him Yeshua and not know who he was and believe that he did away with his own word and therefore truly be deceived. Remember the 80-20 rule. You can get part of the truth right, but if you don't get the real core, you can still be led astray and dead, dead, dead. And for that reason, of course, we see that the whore church and the whore synagogue, both of which have a significant portion of the truth, are both still in exile. Well, that leads me to this place where I'm really going to head next. And we're gonna go back and we're going to tie a lot of things together. Because I think as we go through this, again, the importance of the things here that he says, how do I know that you are set apart to me? Be kadosh, be holy because I am holy. answer, because you do the things that he says right here to do. Don't turn to idols or make yourself molten gods. Ani Yahuwah Elohim. You shall every man do these things. Keep my Sabbaths. Ooh, they don't do that. Ani Yahuwah Eloheka. Elohekim, plural. When you harvest the fields, don't wholly reap the corners of your fields. This is his provision. It's not aid to families with dependent children, folks. It's not something stolen from people against their will or printed out of nothingness, all of which are abominations to him. It's about doing what he says, and then the people who are to be taken care of, those who are poor or that are destitute, can go out and reap the corners of the field. They can get the grapes that fall, and they can take care of themselves, and they get some pride of actually working, which is what Kepha and Peter is talking about here too. And we're going to see it with Paul. You need to be able to do some work. Work is an essential part of walking in obedience, so that those people who are getting the charity start to realize, oh, that's part of what I'm supposed to do. You shall not steal. What do you mean? I can't steal it with the tax of inflation and Big Brother's guns and then give it to the poor people who can be illegal invaders that won't assimilate anyway? You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. What's the essence of dishonest weights? Again, in this Torah portion, answer, stealing, dealing falsely, and lying to one another. This is money, trust me. It's not silver. It's not. It's a lie. It's a dishonest weight. It is, in fact, an abomination. You shall not swear by my name falsely. In God we trust. Which God? Well, we don't know. We don't allow his real name. So that you profane the name of your Elohim, Ani Yahuwah. Now, this is one of those places where I think we better get that right, too. It doesn't say, I am the Lord. Hell, we got lots of lords, Baal. He says, I am Yahuwah, Ani Yahuwah. The difference here, especially, is poignant and it's key. That follows a whole with a whole lot of other stuff that have to do with exactly what the whore church, I will contend, and the whore synagogue have blown sky high. You shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people. Oh, here, we love Christmas trees, we love Ishtar, we have a pork sandwich. Come to my wonderful church where you can hear about how Jesus did away with the law, so you too, all you got to do is say this get out of hell freak prayer, and then you can love everybody. We love our gay folks, we love our Somalis, we love... Oh, is there a difference here between what the real one is saying and what has been done as people are turning to talebearers? Nor shall you stand idly by the blood of your neighbor, Ani Yahuwah. How much of that have we seen? How many people have been standing by the blood of the sacrifice to Molech that is now a sacrament of the whore that infests Washington, D.C.? Lady Liberty, Diana, Ishtar, Easter, Astarte, Ashtaroth. Transgender gods cutting the genitalia off little boys and little girls. Isn't that kind of standing by the blood of your neighbor, or at least your neighbor's children, when you watch their little girl have their breasts cut off? And in California, if you rat them out, though, they may come and take your kids and do it to them. Can we see a pattern here? You shall not hate your brother in your heart. Oh, well, if he voted MAGA, I guarantee there's a lot of people not only hate him, they want to kill him. How about if he doesn't like the invasion that's going on of people who hate the God of the Bible? And he'd rather stop that. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor, not bear sin because of him. Now, what does the whore church tell you now? And the whore synagogue? And the whore that infests the swamp? The lady that rides the beast? The great god feminism and everything else that has taken over the country? What does it say? Well, we do that. We won't bear sin because of you. We don't like your God. How dare you criticize our transgender brethren? They're just as righteous as you. Really? How about this guy who lies with a little boy as with a woman and literally groomed them to take his place? You shall not bear sin because of him. See, they'll tell you you're bearing sin by being homophobic or transphobic or some other kind of phobic, which really just amounts to you're afraid of their God, their fake satanic elements, their Molech. You don't like it. You don't want your kids to go into that satanic worship crowd. And furthermore, if we recognize that's why the whore church became the whore church. It was kicked out of Israel. Became Ahola, and the descendants of that whore church are still in exile for that very reason. Bear sin because of them. They'll tell you that if you actually keep his Moedim, this is part of the in the Inquisition. There you go. We got so many different kinds of intifadas and inquisitions and so forth. But if you remember, during the Middle Ages, if you kept the feasts of Yah, you were called a Judaizer or anathema. And the church would withdraw your salvation. Now, you could buy it if you committed a murder or a little homosexual act. You could buy an indulgence. But don't you dare do anything that we're going to call Judaizing, right? Keeping the feasts of the Jews. No, they were never the feasts of the Jews. They were Yod Hey Vav Hey's Moedim. Keep forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling places. Do not bear sin because of him. Can we see how this has become institutionalized? I think, again, the thing that I hope, if people will read through these and compare where we are with where we were supposed to be, you'll see that they have turned this in particular literally on its head. Don't bear sin because of your neighbor means, oh, get him to conform to the whore church. Get him to conform to the wokeness agenda. In California, you have the force of law. Hell, we'll come after him. They got the Nick Shirley thing they're trying to pass. If you even rat people out for stealing money or for taking kids and cutting off their genitalia, we have a place for you. And hell, it's, well, there it is. Yeah, it's a hell on earth, and that's what they're confirming and conforming and turning. Well, most of California, certainly cesspools like San Francisco have been for years. You shall not take vengeance nor bear a grudge against the children of your people. Does that mean that's why we want to cut off their genitalia? You shall love your neighbor as yourself, Ani Yahuwah. Now, what do they say? Well, we got to love the transsexual, love the homosexual, got to love the guy who's doing all this stuff. Bullshit! Pardon my bluntness. Folks, if you're not angry, well, what does it say in Ezekiel? Those that got the mark sighed and cried at the abominations that were being done. I'm going to contend we start there. Love your neighbor as yourself is described precisely in these passages. You do not stand idly by the blood of your neighbor. How do I know that that's love? Because he tells me so. How do I know that honest weights and measures and not bearing false witness and providing for him the way Scripture says is love your neighbor as yourself? Why? Because that's what I'd like to have happen. I'd like to be treated in accord with his word. This is not hard, but like so much of the rest of it, it has been perverted. Love your neighbor as yourself no longer means what it was supposed to mean when these words were put in genuine print so that we could walk in obedience to them forever. You shall keep my statutes. Well, there you go, right there. My statutes. What, not the whore church statutes? Doesn't the vicar of Christ tell us what matters now? He calls God up on the red phone and says, hey, you got this wrong. We're changing Sabbath to Sun God Day because Constantine liked it and he worshipped Mithras all his life. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle gender with a diverse kind. Not sow your seed in your field with two different kinds of seed. Not even garments that come upon you. This is interesting, and I look at it and I think, well, this kind of surprises us today. It's basically talking about crossbreeding or mixing things, as if maybe he's saying the way I made them is the way that they should be. I can understand that. If you've ever seen what happens if you take different kinds of squash, for example, and plant them too close, they will cross-pollinate. You've heard that term, cross-pollination. But that's not what I think is the worst thing that we've done since then. We've gone way beyond this. Again, back to Tony Fauci. They will take the DNA of pigs and gene splice it and mix it with CRISPR and other high-tech gene manipulation methods to create new and improved gain-of-function deadly bioweapon viruses. Isn't that wonderful? And we can create new chimeras. That's a term that's been around for centuries. But especially, remember, see the centaur with the body of a horse and the head of a human being? That was a chimera. Maybe it might date all the way back to the time of Noah when some of this stuff was going on. But there's been a whole lot of interbreeding of various kinds to produce literal abominations. How about a grain, call it corn or soybeans, that has been bioengineered with what Monsanto calls the Terminator gene? There's a cross-pollination, which basically will produce one generation of crap that'll kill people that eat it and rot the guts and the intestines of even pigs that eat it. Isn't that wonderful? But it won't pollinate. It does not procreate according to its own kind, so it's not really a living seed by the definition of Scripture. It does not do what living seeds do. Does not have the seed of the next generation in its own seed. I think if these things are prohibited, if not breeding cows with goats is maybe prohibited. Well, then how much more so what Fauci's gotten caught doing and what's been going on and what is now still being released upon the world. Again, you shall keep my statutes. After that, we see this whole section about all kinds of things that are incest and forbidden sexual practices. And basically, whereas this is a repetition of those, this time we're going to see that some of them, like adultery, carry a death penalty. Homosexuality, the male-on-male kind. Do not lie with a man as with mankind as with womankind. It carries a literal death penalty. Now, I will notice this because I think it's fascinating. It says, when you shall come into the land in more than one place here, some of these things apply. When you shall come into the land. And by the way, before this, he has said a man lying with a man as with a woman is abomination. Period. No doubt about it. So it's still an abomination, whether it's in the land or out, whether it's become a sacrament in a place that's been set aside from him for just cause or not. But just maybe the idea of killing people for that, stoning them for it, is something that is to be done in the land. Now, I can't help but think, as I say that, we notice that if male homosexuality is, in fact, an abomination before him, well, maybe we'd expect exactly what we see. They die young. They get all kinds of other diseases that seem to take care of it, even when they're not in the land. Well, where I'm going to go next, and I said we'd get here, is 2 Thessalonians. Now, this is a famous passage, and like so many of the other things we've already talked about today, this one, too, I think, has been kind of twisted. And if you've heard about the rapture, I refer to it as the crapture. And my little brother's online. I know that he probably came up with this before I heard it. But basically, I will contend that if you read Scripture, it's pretty obvious that this so-called pre-trib rapture, i.e. the crapture, is not in Scripture anywhere. It's an invention. Some would attribute it to Schofield and the Schofield Bible, along with some other abominations that have twisted Scripture. Who done it first is not so much important as it is not scriptural, and it is, in fact, a big lie, and it's part and parcel of what I think Paul actually warned about here in this letter to the people in Thessalonica. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our real Mashiach, Yahushua, and our gathering together in Him, we ask you. Now, he's not talking about the first coming, he's talking about the return. But I guess you'd have to say, look, if you didn't recognize Him the first time, and you got a fake the first time, are you looking for a fake the second time? Are you going to recognize the real thing if you didn't recognize the first one? This is an important distinction. It's part of exactly why we're spending the time to talk about the razors, if you will, the milestones, the ways of determining whether we are walking in obedience, whether we are set apart, be kadosh, be holy because I am, or not. And whether, if we can't recognize in ourselves what we need to be doing and who we're supposed to be emulating, how do we expect we'd recognize Him when He comes back the second time? Maybe we'll fall for a fake. Oh, as a matter of fact, looks like we're getting set up for that, doesn't it? Now, brethren, concerning the return, maybe, but the coming of our Mashiach and our gathering together in Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as from us, as though the day of the Messiah had come. Let no one deceive you. Now, that was one of the things that Yeshua emphasized in Matthew 24 and the other places that tell the same story. See that you're not deceived. This great deception is a really big deal. And by the way, if it's not obvious, I think we're already in it. Now, it may get worse. I expect it to get worse. But it's already pretty amazing. Look how many people are walking in wokeness and are utterly insane. I mean, literally insane so far as the word and rightly dividing the word is concerned. So let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Now, the term great falling away is not actually used, at least not in most Bibles that I've seen, in that particular way with capitalization. But this certainly is the place where almost everybody will send you and say, this is the great falling away. This is what he's talking about. There are other places, too, where at least we see indications of it. What does it precede? Well, it precedes, among other things, the great regathering. Kind of makes sense that already, though, people have been scattered. But something else seems to kind of precipitate well, this final set of events. And Paul's calling it here, unless this falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed. Well, this is the Antichrist. He's antithetical to everything that Jesus Christ represents. Wait a minute, are we talking about the Jesus Christ who did away with the law, nailed it to the cross, and is therefore a liar and the truth is not in him? By his own word and by his brother's word and by all the word that preceded him? Deuteronomy 7, Deuteronomy 12, Deuteronomy 13? That one? See, if it's antithetical to a fake, is it another fake or is it the real? I think a lot of people will scratch their heads and say, I don't know, because I didn't recognize him the first time. How do you think I'm going to recognize him if he comes back? But I thought he wasn't here. Help! That's right, help. The man of sin is revealed. What is the man of sin? Well, you know, you can make a case, I've certainly heard it made and probably made it myself, that a Jesus who did away with the law, nailed it to the cross, and is therefore a liar, arguably is a man of sin. Because what's he doing? He's doing exactly what the real Mashiach, Yeshua, said in that same place, Matthew 5, verses 17 through 19. He said, you know, somebody comes and they tell you that the law is done away with, and they preach to break even the least of these commandments. And I think they left out a word here in most of the translations. I'm going to put it back. If he repents and he makes it into the kingdom, because a lot won't, the path that leads to life is narrow, few there be that find it, he said in that same speech. But anyway, if he does make it in, but he's been teaching that the law is done away with and to break even the least of these commandments, well, what? Everybody, fill in with me. You know the verse. He would be called least in the kingdom. Least in the kingdom. So the Messiah, by his own words, is saying that if he did what they say he's did, he's the least in the kingdom. Do we see the contradiction here? Hopefully we do. Again, this is not difficult. Right, there were some difficult teachings. Yeshua talked about those too, but this ain't one of them. But what about this man of sin, this fake Christ? Lots of Christos, here a Christo, there a Christo. He warned about that in Matthew 24, too. This fake is revealed, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, as that if he sits as God in the temple of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. How about, maybe he shows himself to be the vicar of Christ. He puts on a white robe and a funny fish hat, and he teaches that the law is done away with. And I call God up on the red phone, and I tell him what he got wrong. And we're going to add in a different Sabbath, and we're going to replace Passover with some other things. And you're a Judaizer if you say those. Ooh! See, once you start to see this, it becomes kind of obvious. There's all kinds of fake Christs. Hell, how many popes have there been? All of whom have claimed that they can rewrite his word? They'll even tell you, you can't even interpret his written word without a priest, who, by the way, isn't a real Cohen anyway, to tell you what it means. Why? Because you'll read what's written there, and you'll think we're lying to you. Why? Because we are. Ha ha ha! And by the way, it's not just limited. I know, yeah, it sounds like I'm bashing the one true universal whore church, folks. But don't worry. There are a lot of protesting Catholics that still keep Sun God Day. They still like their pork sandwiches. They still get together after Sun God Day, and they dunk some people, and they say, here, be baptized in the name of Jesus who did away with the law, so you're not under the law. Praise the Lord, brother. Excuse me? Isn't that kind of like saying, well, what he said we don't like, so we've replaced it? He exalts himself above that which was written by God. That's for blankety-blank and sure. Or that is worshipped so that he sits as God in the temple of God. He's got his own little cross and his own little dunking tank and he's got his own little fiefdom there. Are they all that bad? No, a lot of these people are walking in ignorance, folks. But walking in ignorance doesn't cut it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, as you may recall. And what was the penalty? What does Hosea, speaking for Elohim, tell us? Because you have basically embraced the lie, because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being, oh, say it with me, Kohanim, priests for me. Oh, yeah. And I will also forget your children. The thing that I'm kind of get to here, the thing that I'm going to suggest we need to pay real close attention as these lies become more and more manifest, is that every word of Scripture, and I'm going to qualify this properly, not in the King James, which has got mistranslations, or any other English version, which even the best ones still have mistranslations. For example, most of the English ones still take out the name that he says they shall know me by, Ani Yahuwah, that he signs things that are important by, and they replace it with, I am the Lord. Any Lord will do. How about exalting yourself as God by taking away his very name, reducing it to nothing, and putting in a fake replacement? There's a pattern here. What I started to say was, the word of Elohim is, in fact, true. It is consistent. It is absolutely consistent in the original language, in context, from the very beginning, Bereshit 1:1, all the way through the end, right? To maps, as the old joke goes. It is consistent. And if you want to look at so-called pseudepigraphical works, from Esdras to Enoch to others, and ask, are they or are they not part of the Word, and should they have been in the Bible or should they shouldn't? How about if they're consistent? We don't necessarily have as good a copies of a lot of those, and that's one of the things that's wonderful about the Torah, for example. It's the most vetted piece of literature, of written word in all of human history, bar none. Nothing else comes close to the amount of attention to detail that's there. Am I saying that all of the variations you'll see? For example, remember, the Masoretic text includes vowel pointers that weren't in the Torah scrolls that you'll find. Now, the Jews, the rabbis, those that have studied, will tell you, oh, we put the vowel pointers in, the Masoretes put them in, we know what we're doing. But in so doing, they do constrain the word. I'm going to contend that you got to be real careful. And we can rightly discern, we can divide the word of truth, we're told to do that by Paul, if we understand and if we study to show ourselves approved. And yep, when there's any doubt, we go back to the original. We look at the original Hebrew as close as we can possibly get it. We compare and we recognize that if it looks like there's a change, if it looks like he says something one place and something different another place, well, one of two things is probably true. Either some translator or scribe or copyist got it wrong, or maybe they did so deliberately, or there's a distinction here that if we look real carefully, he is making something really important true to us by giving us the ability to discern the slight difference and say, what's different about this time when he says it than that time? It's got to do with a different set of conditions, or maybe it applies to a different people, or maybe it's in a different time frame. But the point is, we can learn from even that. All right, let's go back and make sure we catch the entire point here of this warning in Thessalonians about the great falling away. Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? He did. But a lot of that stuff has been taken out of context or just done away with, right? If they come preaching another Jesus whom we've not preached, ooh, I'm afraid you'll put up with it. He was right. He told us, and they did. And guess what? They're still doing it. And now you know what's restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of, here's the thing that I think is interesting. What does he say? And this is actually one of the places where the English rendering, at least the one I'm looking at, the New King James, gets it right. For the mystery of lawlessness, Torahlessness, is already at work. Only he, that's capitalized in this rendering, who now restrains, will do so only until he is taken out of the way. Now, people say, well, this is going to happen. Yeah, I don't argue with that. But you know what? He was taken out of the way in about 325 A.D. at the Council of Nicaea, and subsequently, where his word became Judaizing, and where the things he called his feasts became Jewish feasts, and where the things he said to do and to keep forever became, that's the law, and I'm not under the law. Well, you know what? The difference that is completely lost here is the Pharisees were called hypocrites by the real Mashiach because they were saying, here's our law. And what did Yeshua called it in some renderings? The traditions of the elders. In every rendering, it's nomos, folks, because they don't distinguish in the Greek between fake law and real law, law of men, law of Elohim. But he said it, by your traditions, by this fake law, these things you call law that aren't, by your halakha is another Hebrew word, you've made the commandments of Elohim of no effect. When the lawless one is revealed, he's already at work. It was at work when Paul wrote this, and he was right. By 325 A.D., folks, it had basically taken over. They got rid of the Torah obedient folks. If that wasn't good enough, by the time we got to the end of the first millennia, and anathema and burning people at the stake for daring to keep his Sabbaths, for daring to say, I don't want to eat my Ishtar pig, they had pretty well made sure that he was taken out of the way. Now, what happens in the next ensuing millennia? Well, we're seeing it. We get to the point where even things that he says carry a death penalty, like a man lying with a man as with a woman, are now, well, we got ordained, fill in your blank, transvestite, transgender, homosexual, oh, we love everybody, I love your neighbor, hey, but don't let your kids alone with him. And then the lawless nun, one will be revealed. Now, most of the whore church will say, well, this is yet to happen. And I'm going to suggest, no, it's a continuing process. I think a lot of people are coming to the realization that, quote, another Jesus whom we've not preached was, in fact, a lawless one, who is, in fact, being revealed, as some of us say, well, maybe that's why we should get his name right, so we can distinguish, you know, in polite company, between the real Mashiach, the salvation of Yahushua, and a fake Jesus who did away with the law, nailed it to the cross, and doesn't save anybody by his blood, because he never really walked this planet. He never heard that name, not once. His mama never called him that. The entire time he was on planet Earth, his first incarnation. And furthermore, nobody even called him that for 15 plus centuries afterwards. And then again, mostly even only in English. This lawless one. Okay, it's like it's a single, but as we know, there's at least the lawless one and the beast that are described in here and in Revelation and other places. But certainly, as Yeshua said, look, here a Christ, there a Christ. They're going to tell you he's everywhere. Don't believe any of them. And I think that is the real key. But there is a as we see in many repetitions of things that are multiple fulfillments in Scripture, you get foreshadowings and foreshadowings, and then we get the real one, like we get with the real Messiah. We're going to see the same thing, I think, with this fake, this lawless one. Lots and lots of lawless ones. We've got a whole litany of popes who've claimed that they are the vicar of Christ and can rewrite his word. They're all lawless ones, folks. They're just not necessarily the. Anyway, this mystery of lawlessness is already at work. He who restrains will do so only till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom Yahuwah, let's get the name right here too, will consume with the breath of his mouth, which is what? The breath, the ruach, the word, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of this lawless one is according to the working of Hasatan, the adversary, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Everybody's heard that one. But here's the part that kind of gets missed a lot of times. Among those who perish. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, along with all kinds of unrighteous, in other words, Torah rebellious deception. See how that's left out? If it's translated as unrighteous, well, righteous means what? Well, righteous means that I don't eat fish on Fridays. Well, it used to. Change that. It means that I go to church on Sun God Day like a good little pagan. It means that I have my little shrine to Mother Mary, or I got all kinds of other things that I think are Christian. Is that what it really means? It means Torahlessness, folks. It means I don't walk in obedience. He says here, right? Be kadosh because I am kadosh. How do we do this? He gave us a whole list of things, most of which have fallen into disrepute among those that are perishing. So, with all unrighteous deception, among those who perish. What? Well, yeah, you could almost say the way that leads to life is narrow and few there be to find it, but the way that leads to deception, to death, is broad. A whole lot of folks go that way. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. The love of the truth. In other words, I love the truth so much that even if I'm told that Jesus really never did eat a pork sandwich, and that even though I might not eat a pork sandwich and deserve to go to hell, he did warn me that if I eat it, I'm not going to be blessed, and that if I eat it, my soul, which is nefesh, which is life, well, that's a problem. It becomes an abomination. Oh, see, we don't like to talk about this. I have been kicked out of websites, folks. for even daring to suggest that if he says don't eat pork or don't eat shellfish, maybe you shouldn't. How's that? They perished because they did not receive the love of the truth. Do we love the truth? Will we read what he says and he says to do it? Will we read where he says keep my Moedim? No, they're not Jewish. They're mine. Passover, Pesach, Shavuot, which is coming up, this time of Yom HaKippurim, Yom Kippur, this Day of Atonement. Oh, that's all done away with. No, it's not. How about this time of Sukkot, where we know that following something that we think is still going to happen, people that don't do it, they're going to not get any rain in their land. Even a lot of Christendom seems to understand that one. Well, how come that was done away with, but what, it's getting restored? No, no, it was never done away with. It's just that the lawless one did claim that it was gone, and he took away the real one. But eventually, the real one's going to come back and destroy the lawless one with the fire of his brightness of his coming and the breath of his mouth, his ruach. For this reason, Elohim will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. We've been there for 17 centuries. Folks, the strong delusion is nothing new. It's just that it grows like leaven over time. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where now, even though for, you know, say 15 of the last 17 centuries, a man who lies with a man as with a woman was at best shunned and stayed, quote-unquote, in the closet. Oh, that was so nasty. Those people did not love their brethren like we do. Took a while. In other words, we got to the place where you can literally now come right out and talk about bestiality and teach it in the public cesspools. We teach transgenderism and all kinds of crap that is an abomination and shove it down little kids' throats or, you know, cut off their little genitalia, and that's okay. And you'll go to jail in some places if you so much as talk against it. This is well, it would have been unbelievable, but now it's woke! For this reason, Elohim will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. They call themselves woke. You know what else? They will bear false witness against you. We just read this. Don't seek out ghosts nor familiar spirits to be defiled by them. Oh, in California, we love it. We'll have a seance and we'll bring them on in. Don't hate your brother in your heart. Well, if he's a MAGA type, I hate him. If he's a MAGA type, I can probably kill him and get away with it. If he hates the invaders that I have brought in, I will take away his stuff. I'll certainly throw him in jail if he shoots one that comes across his door and, you know, and rapes his little girl. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. Well, see, they'll tell you, that's you, not me. Guess what, folks? They can't both be right. Somebody is walking in obedience to Elohim. Somebody is being set apart. Be kadosh because I am kadosh. And the other ones have been separated from him for cause. Can we see the difference? Well, with all of that on the table, all right, and a lot of this are things that, admittedly, I've talked about before. Why? Because Scripture tells us over and over and over and over and over again. And yet what? It's still ignored. It hasn't gotten any better. If anything, it's gotten more and more obscene and more extreme. But with that, I'm going to go to this. This is a piece that, I was thinking about writing something like this. Because we have seen so many examples just in the last 24 to 48 hours. And, of course, this is also a topic that yours truly and any number of other people, there's some names in the article, L.A. Marzulli, I met L.A. years ago, along with others, Steve Quayle, and some people that wrote some books about giants and about other things that are described in Scripture and warned about the deception that's coming. One of which is, right, the Nephilim, the sons of the fallen, the descendants of this half-breed. Maybe it was DNA manipulation, maybe it was forbidden sex, but whatever it was, it resulted in this mixing of humans with something which is not human. And I think a lot of them are in the swamp nowadays and in any number of places, London and Brussels and you name it, and they're in positions of power. The great deception that I think is also coming, that may end up being part of this great falling away as well, has to do with what we're now seeing writ large, this alien deception. And it's been going on for a long time. Now, when I mentioned the great deception and the great falling away and the warnings that we just read in, for example, 2 Thessalonians, most people say, oh, okay, so it's the rapture. And that's the great falling away when, you know, beam me up, Scotty is going to happen, and left behind is what you don't want to be. Answer. The ones that were left behind, if you read what Yeshua says, they were like Noah. Noah and his family were left behind. The rest were taken. Do you want to be left behind like Noah or taken with the other Nephilim and the Rephaim and the various descendants of those things that were, well, the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually? Answer. So I will contend that part of the great falling away may have to do with beam me up, Scotty. Oops, I didn't get beamed up, and so I'm going to turn my back on that whore church that lied to me about the crapture. Well, that's part of it. I think this is another part of it. Now, I've already mentioned AI as being a part of the great deception and arguably this great falling away. You see, when you put all this together, you got a really, really great falling away from all kinds of things that, what, exalt themselves as if they were God. Whether it's an alien that claims to say, we created you, we uplifted you, we modified your DNA. That's why you've got no missing link. That's why Darwin got it close but no cigar. That's because it was us. Jesus was one of us. Buddha was one of us. Fill in the blank. Well, so we've now seen the UFO files released. Well, not all of them, just a part of them. There's going to be more. And a lot of people have been warned. Now, there was a story this week, and I talked about it, a number of others. It was actually repeated a number of places. Even the Daily Mail, which is kind of left-leaning, published it. And it turns out that there were a bunch of evangelical types and high-profile preachers that were taken into confidence by the intelligence community and some really wizened, wonderful folks who would never, ever tell a lie, right? Yeah, sure. And they were kind of like the clergy response team. Remember the clergy response team? When we send your people to the camps, we want you to keep them in line. Like a quizzling, you know, during the time of the Jews being taken away to the camps. And you tell them, this is what Romans 13 tells you to do. You know, big brother says jump, you say how high. And we don't pay any attention to walking in obedience to the Creator, right? If you love me, keep my commandments, says Yeshua. No, we don't care about him. Okay, we don't even get his name right. But we do say that when Big Brother says jump, you say how high. Here, give us your guns. Clergy response team, turn them over. Be a good little slave of the Almighty State. Have they ever lied to you before? So now the clergy response team's getting the lowdown on the coming aliens. They're going to be really good guys, but you got to be real careful because a lot of Christianity is going to come apart at the seams. They're going to say, well, this contradicts the Genesis story. The story that, by the way, we never really quite told completely correctly anyway. Why? Because we ignore the Hebrew and we ignore some of the things. We don't know what a nechash is, for example. It's a, you know, it's a snake with an apple. So they're already kind of pre-prepped to say, oh, well, we don't believe that story anyway. And evolution tells us that it was billions and billions of years besides. So now we know that it's a friendly alien that came and took some pig DNA and mixed it with some other kinds of DNA. And then we got a Neanderthal, and then he mixed that with some other stuff. And here comes Homo erectus. And isn't life grand? He'll come back someday. Because these are the gods of Rome and the gods of the Greeks and the gods of the Norse. Yeah. Familiar spirits? Kinda. Well, they're real familiar, that's for sure. The question is, are we at the cusp of this? I think the answer is that yes, it is. And there are a number of people making some cautionary statements. And they're saying that, look, this is intended. And this is the real problem. This is intended to destroy the church, and it's intended to destroy the people's reverence for Jesus Christ, who did away with the law. Be Kodeshim, y'all. Be Kodesh. Be set apart, because I am set apart. How do you know? Because you'll walk in obedience to all these statutes, judgments, commandments, ani Yahuwah. But we don't do that. We haven't done that. You see, we've already moved a long ways away. All that's needed at this point is just to kind of pull out the last little pillar and knock the whole stinking, damnable edifice down. So, does the church need to be shaken up? I would say, yeah, that's sure. The problem is, when the church is shaken up and when we recognize finally what he means when he says, come out of her, don't participate in her sins so you don't partake of her plagues, don't get taken in by the great falling away that's going to happen for all of these various reasons, make sure you recognize the parts that were true. If you have a love for the truth, you can search out the rest. The scripture has always been the word of Elohim. It's just that you've gotten some really crappy translations. You've learned a lot of, is there a right way to put it? A polite way to put it? I guess in Espanol they would say caca de toro. You heard it on Sun God Day. Don't fall for that. When that gets swept away, now you need to go back and look at the truth. And this is a good place to start. How do you not stand idly by the blood of your neighbor? Answer, by being kadosh, set apart to him. By being able to rightly divide the word of truth. By being able to give account in season and out for the hope that's within you as the whole world is coming apart and the aliens are getting lots of people convinced, hey, follow us. And this man of sin, I think, will probably be revealed this time with the capital T in the T-H-E. But again, there have been lots of stories warning about this. And here's one. It's probably one of the better ones that I've seen. Called UFO transparency is good, but biblical discernment is required. Now that, I would say, is absolutely positively true. And hint, you're not going to get it from the whore church. Why? Because they never had it. They got pieces of it at best. So does the whore synagogue. They get pieces of it. Okay, the simplification, the oversimplification is to say, the whore synagogue doesn't recognize the Messiah. They did recognize his instruction. But on the other hand, the whore church, well, they recognize the Messiah, but they don't believe that the Torah still applies. Did they really get the right Messiah or not? Turns out both of them, one way or another, missed the real one. This, too, I've mentioned many times. You talk to your average Torah-obedient Jew, they'll say, well, Jesus couldn't have been the Messiah because he did away with the Torah. Well, right. He's not. You got that right. What you fail to recognize is the real Messiah came. Never, his mama never called him Jesus. He never did away with the Torah. I've had discussions with rabbis. He said that. He said that. And I quote places in Matthew and Luke. He said that. And it's stunning because that's not what they were told. It's not what the whore church was told either. The Trump administration on Friday released their first batch, like more to come, of declassified files documenting UAPs, or Unidentified Anomalous Phenomenon. It used to be aerial, but now they go underwater and stuff too. So it's UAPs, Anomalous Phenomenon, opening a vault that previous regimes had preferred to keep welded shut. Now, and this is why I say it's not quite a nothing burger, because there are some interesting things in here, like some, for example, of the transcripts, the testimonies of various Apollo astronauts. Turns out they were seeing a lot more stuff than we've been told. And I've got a quote here that that they included in there from Armstrong, right, who said that he had made, while he was on the moon, some 50 significant observations on the inside of the spacecraft. They saw something. Buzz Aldrin saw it too. Buzz has been a little bit more open about it, but not completely forthcoming, because I think he was told to shut up. Collins and in orbit, he saw it as well. And literally, there were a whole lot of things. And subsequently, there were others. Let's see here. I've got the story up. Astronauts saw things. Apollo 17 saw strange lights. Jack Schmidt. We saw flashes continuously during the whole flight when we were dark adapted. Flash on the lunar surface. Now, it's possible some of this was, you know, biological. Maybe they were like things that were happening inside their eyes as a result of oxygen changes or who knows what. So this is not demonstrative proof of anything. Gene Cernan said he saw something when they landed on the moon. Oh, shit, he said we've got a tin can with us. Let's see, Aldrin, Armstrong, Apollo 11. Apollo 16 is mentioned in here as well. Anyway, there were a number of sightings. So the point is, there was some interesting information in here. It's just not complete, and it doesn't necessarily say what things are. Oh, I know why it was in a different article that I'm looking for the other one. So we'll get to that in just a second, because I'm going to go through this piece. All right, so this is all part of Trump's presidential unsealing and reporting system for UAP encounters. It's called Pursue. And said the administration, while past administrations start to discredit or dissuade the American people, President Trump is focused on providing maximum transparency. Let folks make up their own minds. All right. Well, the author, and I would say I'm in agreement with this, sure, show us what you got. But the difference is what you got real or is what you got a lie? How do we know? Now, one thing I do know for sure is that there has been huge amounts of discussion over the years that a lot of things were so deep secret, magic clearance levels and above. You can remember MK Ultra, and a lot of things were kept secret from presidents past. So that was just one example of many of these so-called black projects. And if you remember, it was an Independence Day where the president is talking to, I think it's the Data character in the movie. And he says, oh, yeah, we've known about these UFOs. The president says, well, I wasn't told about it. And he gets the look like, yeah, duh, you weren't told about it. So that's been going on, and that part is actually true, that there are other things that are secret, and these are public-private partnerships. The defense contractors, Lockheed and others, are probably seeing a lot of things that presidents are having hidden from them, like technological elements. So the bottom line is, don't expect that, not for lack of trying, that the administration could even release, and they're fighting for it, supposedly, all of the information that's available. But even that, how much of it's true, how much of it's a lie? As a matter of fact, if these things are demonic, and they've been talking to various generals and high-ranking Defense Department contractors and double E's and physicists, or maybe even the Nazis before them, do you think they're going to tell them that they're demonic? Or are they going to tell them, oh, we're from Pleiades, or Alpha Centauri, or somewhere? Answer, you don't know, and they don't have the spiritual acumen, or for that matter, much of other kinds of acumen, to rightly divide the truth anyway. So, this is going to be something that is so fraught with deception, folks, that you're going to have to be completely, skeptical to start with, and scripturally based to finish with. All right. The full archive is being staged, and there's some websites. Tulsi Gabbard is involved, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, the FBI, NASA administrator, others. And conspiracy theorists and conservatives alike, they've all asked for sunlight. There's some honest accounting here. That's the good thing. Trump has delivered some of that, so kudos there. And what we saw on Friday, at least the principle is sound, says this author, because a self-governing people cannot give informed consent to a government that lies, and we've known that, hides what it knows. And when a population is trained to eventually realize, because they ought to, that their officials are lying to them. Why would they trust them? They lied to you about an election, right? They lied to you about COVID-19. They lied to you about taking an injection that they intended to kill a whole lot of people. Why the hell do you think they're going to tell you the truth about whether the aliens are from God or the bad guy? Okay, the cultural runway has been prepared for UAP disclosure for years, right? I look at things like Star Trek, some books from Arthur C. Clarke, Childhood's End, some stories that Rod Serling gets great credit for having come out with during the Twilight Zone, early 60s and late 50s. Some really excellent stuff. He nailed what was coming. As it turns out, Wernher von Braun, right? The famous Nazi that came over in Operation Paperclip, was the first administrator of NASA. He warned, this UFO deception, it's coming. And now you got Disclosure Day, Spielberg's documentary, hitting theaters June 12th, where he says, quote, we are not alone here on Earth right now. And Hollywood admits it. They've spent half a century, well, at least since Star Trek in the 1970s, conditioning people. There's all kinds of aliens. Aliens here, aliens there. We got Klingons. We got Kardashians. We got Orions and... I could probably should be able to name a dozen different aliens from Star Trek alone. They're all over the place. We're not alone in the universe. Now, I've gone through the arguments from astronomers like Fred Hoyle, saying, do you know what the odds of a complex protein arising from sheer chance are? 1 in 10 to the 200th. And that's just one complex protein. Not an amino acid. Not a DNA double helix. So basically, evolution did not happen, and the first protoplasmic single-celled self-replicating organism, mankind still can't do it, still can't do it. It did not arise by chance. No way on God's green earth did it happen by chance. So, if we want to get rid of a God that did that, we got to come up with something else, maybe an alien superintelligence that did it for him. So, we can actually have intelligent design, we just don't have the Bible's version of it. The framing of what we're seeing, though, and this is the paragraph that I think is really key, is not science. Any way you slice it, folks, we're talking about theology here. And this is a theology that contradicts every word, and I'm going to change this, not the Christian gospel, because the Christian gospel, folks, is another Jesus whom we've not preached. Let's be clear. They get part of the truth. It's not the Jewish gospel either. It is his instruction, and it's all of his instruction. That includes things that were written before and after he made his physical appearance on earth that are in accord with his ruach and his plan and his, literally, ability to write it down and preserve it for us. But let's not confuse it with some denominational entity. The question is just what is really written, and what have we heard that it should have said if, God were as smart as the men who rewrote it for him think they are. All right. So, this new theology contradicts every word of the real written word of Elohim. Reported contactee messages going back decades have carried a remarkably consistent script. Every religion is from God. All paths lead to heaven, right? What is the whore pope saying right now? We're going to have Chrislam, because that's all true. We're going to mix all these wonderful religions, because that's what really matters. Jesus, he was just a teacher. He wasn't really a savior. Now, by the way, that's part of the 80-20 rule, right? Jesus was just a teacher, not a savior. Turns out, Jesus wasn't even the real savior. His real name was Salvation of Yah, and he didn't do away with the Torah, but he did teach what was written, as opposed to a Jesus who taught something different, if that's what we believe, even though that's not what Scripture so clearly says. I mean, you cannot have it both ways. Sin is misunderstanding. Salvation comes through cooperation with benevolent intelligences from somewhere else. We got all kinds of them. That message is anti-biblical to its core. Doesn't deny the supernatural. It replaces it. Now, this is where I think it gets interesting. And we've seen this, and it's interesting how much controversy there has been about this. Now, as you probably know, Vice President J.D. Vance was raised, I believe, some kind of Protestant. But he then converted to, Roman Catholicism. And he said, on some of the cable networks with Benny Johnson, I guess this wasn't cable, this was a podcaster, Benny Johnson, last month, asked whether or not he had peeked at these soon-to-be-released UFO files. He said he hadn't yet. But he said something about his feelings on it. He said, quote, "I don't think they're aliens. I think they're demons anyway, but that's a longer discussion." Pressed for elaboration, the Catholic Vance went further. "I naturally go, when I hear about extranatural phenomena, that's where I go, to the Christian understanding that there's a lot of good out there, but there's also evil out there, and I think that one of the devil's great tricks is to convince people he never existed," unquote. Well, I think most of us would say, yeah, can't argue with too much of that. Vance isn't alone. He's not the kookiest voice in the choir, says some of the skeptics. Apollo 16 astronaut Charlie Duke, the 10th man to walk on the surface of the moon, at least that's what we're told. Why would we not believe that either? He has stated plainly that he believes UAPs are demonic beings. And part of the reason was because he saw some of the maneuvers that were being made and said, you know, these turns at these incredible velocities would literally mash into protoplasm or worse, anything that was on board. Now, Star Trek has an explanation for that, right? They have the gravity compensators, which reduce the inertia. And so the only time we see them crashing around the deck of the Enterprise is if there's like really bad space storms at hand. But otherwise, they can make these huge accelerations and they don't get crushed. So the point is, if you postulate an advanced enough science, Arthur Clarke said, yeah, then it becomes indistinguishable from magic. You can make any of this stuff seem real. But I do think Charlie Duke got this part right. He said the real purpose of these displays is to, quote, "draw people away from the real God." Tucker Carlson, as you know, has said something similar. L.A. Marzulli, and I met L.A. a number of times, and he actually did at least a show on our network. They've spent careers arguing that what intelligence officials now call non-human intelligence is the same kind of spiritual entity the Scripture has been describing, since Bereshit chapter 6, if not before, but just costumed in a new garb for a scientific age. So the Apollo 17 transcripts came out on Friday, and they described all kinds of things. I won't go into the details here, but you can look at those. They're online. Big Brother has known something that has been observed, but has been lying about it for a very long time. So the question for those that believe Scripture is not whether the phenomenon exists. And this author says the Christian question is, what are they? And what are they telling us? Scripture is certainly not silent on the subject of unseen powers operating in the heavenlies. Okay, and Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." All right, so there's some other verses in here. We recognize most of that. But the problem is there an agenda at work here as well? Now, I will contend that there's a couple agendas. One of them certainly is reasonable. That is disclosure. That is letting people know at least whatever evidence they have and letting them decide what they believe about it. If these entities exist, I'm okay with them saying that there are entities that exist. And even with what the entities say they are, just understanding, they may be lying. We know that there are entities that are described in Scripture that say, well, don't worship me for one. So there's one key, right? You can look at James, and if they deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, wait a minute, how about if they get that one right, but they don't get it right that the Jesus Christ that they are telling you was one of many, like Buddha and Confucius and others? Do you see how there can be a trap here, folks? People say, well, I used the test that's described in Scripture about did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And they'll say, sure, he's here now. In other words, they can lie with impunity on that one. That's not a very good test if it does not rightly divide the truth, and if people don't recognize that even when they phrase the question, if they get it wrong, yay, did Elohim not say? If you add to or subtract from, you fall into the same trap that Eve did, Chava. And therein lies the rub. So, in conclusion, the Trump administration was right to release the file, says the author. Any government that classifies its citizens out of their own history is one that's forgotten who it serves. Well, I don't think there's any debate there. And pursue is a meaningful course correction. After decades of official condescension, transparency is a virtue, not a threat. And those who are doing this, he names a bunch of names, deserve credit for treating Americans like adults, finally. At the same time, those who watch the sky with a biblical worldview, and that's how I'm going to put it, should remember that not every revelation is a revelation from God. Duh. As a matter of fact, if you don't know his real name, if you think it's a revelation from the Lord, I guarantee you that there's a Baal or a Molech or a Hasatan that'll tell you he's the Lord. And he'll be telling you what he thinks is the truth. Do you know enough to be able to rightly divide the word and spot the lie? That's why Yeshua says, see that you're not deceived. A lot of folks are going to come. Don't buy it. The lights in the Apollo footage, they may be exotic technology or atmospheric phenomenon or something else entirely. But the narrative constructed around them by Hollywood and by mystics and by others, right? Following after what? Familiar spirits? Wizardry? Is something else entirely. A UFO religion that promises spiritual ascent without a savior, whether they get his name right or not. That's not new. It's the oldest pitch in the book, right? You can be like God, you will not die. Serpent of Eden, the Nahash, offered a similar path to enlightenment from some kind of a higher being. And he promised that the real rules did not apply. Now that is absolutely correct. The problem is, so has the whore church. Right? The real rules don't apply. It's done away with. Nail to the cross. Here, have a pork sandwich. Here, keep Sun God Day. Here, we like Christmas and Easter better. The real rules don't apply. What did the real one say? These are my feasts, my Moedim. Keep them forever. Throughout your generations, yeah, even when you're kicked out of here for cause, in all your dwelling places, you and your descendants. There is no two ways about it, folks. The whore church has been lying. And if the whore church gets a little bit of a comeuppance, some shaking up here, a great shaking even, and a great falling away from a whore church that should never have been in a position of godlike, state-like unity to begin with, then great. It's about time. But you know the expression, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Did we still achieve some understanding of the truth? Did we get a love of the truth? Can we follow that through even when we're, well, disgusted, disappointed, and rightfully so, with a whore church and a whore synagogue? Both have been lying to us, and both of them have been kicked out for it. We want to come out of both of them so that we're ready for what's coming. But understand that this deception we've been warned about, it is a great one. See that you are not deceived. Here he is, there he is, here a Christ, there a Christ. There are so many of these things that are coming all at once. And this too is kind of an old propaganda theory. It's a communist pincher's theory. Pressure from above, pressure from below. We're going to hit you on every side, right? Going to hit you with the poison. We're going to hit you with the booga booga flu. We're going to hit you with an economic collapse. Going to hit you with world war. We're going to take your boys and send them off to die for Benjamin Netanyahu. We got a whole bunch of ways. We've got AIs. We've got beings that are maybe AIs or maybe they're just godlike superintelligences. So many ways that people are just basically going to clam up like a deer in the headlights. And they'll fall for anything. Forewarned is forearmed. Make sure we know and can rightly divide the word when we get there. And I guess you could say we're getting closer by the day. I think that is about what I wanted to mention today. I do think it's apropos, just as we start to wrap things up, to take a quick perusal of the so many elements in this portion. Remember, by way of summary, this is called Parsha Kedoshim. Because that's the first unique word. And this is the words in red where he says, speak to the entire congregation, kol adat, of the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, sons of Isaac and Jacob, renamed to Israel. Say to them, you shall be kadosh, y'all, that's kedoshim, for I, Yahuwah, your El, am set apart, kadosh. And right there, even in the first verse, we see that changing the name changes the whole meaning. You shall fear every man his father and his mother. You shall keep my Sabbaths, right off the top. They don't. They don't keep his weekly Sabbaths. They don't keep his Moedim either. Ani Yahuwah, he signs it. Do not turn unto idols, nor make yourself fake gods. Ani Yahuwah Elohim. So far, folks, every single one of these has been, I'll say it kindly, gang raped by what? A government that has forgotten the purpose of government, to secure these rights governments are instituted among men, those rights that come from God. A whore church that has turned from the very Creator himself, rewritten his word, done away with it, claimed us nailed to the cross. They have defied his name, defiled it, reduced it to nothingness, and replaced his risen son with a fake, even renamed him. And they changed what he did and what he stood for. Yeah. All you got to do is just read the first few verses of these, and it sets the stage. Then there are all these other things. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. What, even on Sun God Day? Can't we make stuff up and tell them? Well, no, Jeremiah says that they'll come from the ends of the world, and they'll say, we've inherited lies from our fathers. Some of those fathers are in those little collars. Some of them are in the fish hats. But all of them were liars. Things that are not true, things in which there is no value, no profit. You shall not swear by my name falsely. Don't profane the name of Yod He Vav He. They took it out. Don't stand idly by the blood of your neighbor. Don't hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke him instead. Don't bear sin because of him. Even if he tells you the law is done away with, don't take the pork sandwich and eat it. Don't go to his church on Sun God Day and hear all the other wonderful things that the whore church got right, that the real Mashiach got wrong and didn't know and said wasn't going to change. Don't take vengeance nor bear a grudge against the children of people. Love your neighbor as yourself, Ani Yahuwah. That's the second greatest command in Scripture, he says. But again, if you don't know what that means, because you've been told it means, oh, a man lying with a man is with a woman, or wanting to do that, that's okay. Or 100 other things that we've named, and you can probably name too, don't buy it. Love your neighbor as yourself means treat him in accord with the word of the Creator as written, and it hasn't changed. Keep my statutes. All right? Then there's a whole bunch of examples. Don't eat with the blood. Don't practice divination, nakashism, if you will, nor soothsaying. Don't make cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor don't put any marks upon your flesh. Woo! Well, I can't do that, right? So how about I got a great big old cross here? You shall keep my Sabbaths. Reverence my sanctuary. Ani Yahuwah. Don't turn to ghosts, familiar spirits. No, not AIs and not the aliens that are coming. Just weights, just balances, adjust ephah, adjust hin. In other words, dishonest weights are an abomination. Says that over and over again. All of these things you shall have. Ani Yahuwah Elohim, who brought you out of this land of Egypt, bondage. You shall therefore observe all of my statutes and all of my ordinances and do them. Ani Yahuwah Elohim. Don't give of your seed to Molech. What? No, even if it's a sacrament of the almighty whore that resides there on the beast in the swamp in D.C.? Don't they take my fake tax dollars that I provide to do all of that kind of stuff? Teach it to little children in the schools? Provide abortions for the needy women who are getting away with all of this stuff? There is one interesting point here that I want to make, and let me see if I can find it here. It was one of those that's it's almost a throwaway, but it caught me just as I was reading it this morning. Okay, here we go. It's not in the place where we see the other kinds of sexual sins. It's in a different section. That's why it took me a second. After it says, don't put any tattoos on your skin, I am Yahuwah, it says, do not profane your daughter to turn her into a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry and the land become full of lewdness. Now, we look at this and we say, well, my daughter's not a harlot. Oh, yeah, she goes out and she sleeps with every boy who takes her to dinner in a movie, but she's not a harlot. And furthermore, she knows that that's part of equality, right? Because she's been taught all this wonderful feminism. Let's not kid ourselves, folks. I'm going to contend, and I think I'm going to look around the room as I say this, that just teaching your daughter about feminism and all of the crap that says male and female, he created them, no, that's done away with. And that, in fact, there is a blessing for being a woman, and that Yah did this for a purpose, and that there are some things that women have and can do that are wonderful and that they're blessed, but there are also special provisions made in Scripture. No, feminism denies all of that, along with all the other stuff that just plain isn't convenient. If you turn your daughter into a feminist, allow the world to corrupt her, you have, in fact, profaned her and turned her into a harlot. And the land, as a result, what do we see? Well, women, children shall rule over them. The land has fallen into harlotry. Read Isaiah 3 sometime. See how that ends up. With all the women that basically end up after a huge, some kind of a great falling away and a great falling down, covering themselves in sackcloth and ashes with bald heads. The land has fallen into harlotry, let's just face it. And the land has become full of lewdness. Obvious. No doubt about it. So, what does he say? You shall therefore keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, Ani Yahuwah. Interesting. There's a lot of things that go together. And that's what I think this Torah portion does such a great job of pointing out. All of these things, fully 80% at least, 80-20 rule, right? Fully 80% of which the whore church has said are done away with. We don't do those things anymore. We don't care about those things anymore. Why? Because what is it that Peter says? What is it that they're all quoting? You be kadosh, set apart to me, because I am. Why is it that the whore church is still in exile, still in rebellion? Why? Because it was not set apart to him. It was set apart by him, from him, for this rebellion, and it still is. And folks, that's what we got to come out of. And yes, I know that probably more of the people that are going to hear this later are from the whore church side rather than the whore synagogue side, but there's plenty of problems with both of them. The 80-20 rule applies to both. Both are still in exile. And as we see all of these things that we were warned about by Yeshua coming to pass, right? Whether they used the term AI and he didn't, although I guess you could argue he could have, certainly when it comes to making gods of stone or silicon, well, you can see a pretty clear prophetic connection there, I hope. Well, the warnings, at least, are crystal clear. Even if the warning about deception and all the forms of deception are not so clear, because what he says is it's going to be one for the record books. You're going to have to pay real close attention. Or, what? Even the elect could be deceived if it went on for long enough. So the warnings are here. And now I'm going to suggest that what we're seeing are not just the warnings that are here, but the things that indicate the time is here too. And so for all of these reasons, we'll end the way he begins. Be set apart to him because he is set apart. If we want to be his, we had better be set apart too, to him. And with that, folks, I will say any questions or comments and anything I missed that rolled off the screen? See some comments on the screen. Oh, how long until this is uploaded? I will try to get it up late this afternoon, maybe this evening, but we'll try to get it up today, and it'll be up on my website tomorrow, too. from Heber Nation. So it'll be on Heber Nation Online, and sometime late afternoon anyway. Since I mentioned that, I'll mention one more thing. I don't do it often enough on the audios. That is, if there are questions, and there may be questions on this one, I'm always happy to get emails, feedback, comments, and I will try to answer all of them, especially with the questions. The email address works best for me is Mark, M-A-R-K, at Mark Niwot. That's M-A-R-K again, and then N-I-W-O-T, November India, Whiskey Oscar Tango.com. So Mark at MarkNiwot.com. Yeah, like I said, I appreciate the feedback and the comments. And I encourage folks, if you find this valuable, let people hear it, spread it around, because this deception is coming. It's already here. And I hope by now we can see Yeshua was absolutely right as to the level that it's going to hit. And I think so far all we're seeing is just a hint at how broad that is going to be. Imagine when you have deep fakes and the ability to create, right? You can already look at movies that will show you all kinds of wonderful aliens. All right, maybe some of the old Star Treks, they look like a guy with makeup on. But we're going to see stuff that's going to put that to shame, courtesy of AI. And maybe it's real, maybe it's not. Okay, so with that, let's begin to wrap up in prayer. Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Echad. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank that you have preserved your word for us. And we pray that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We know your word says too, Father, that if we ask for wisdom, you'll freely give it. So we do. We ask that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us discernment, that you would guide us as we try to rightly divide your word of truth. Let it be a sharp double-edged sword, dividing soul from spirit and bone from marrow, and us from those things that we should be separated from. Help us to come out. Help us to be separate. And above all, we pray on this score, help us not to be deceived, because we know that, and we can see that you've warned us about this, and the deception is increasingly incredible. Help us too, Father, to speak your word in season and out, to rightly divide it, to be bold as we do so, to not pull our punches, in other words, but to do and to speak those things in a way that those that we speak to will be able to hear it. Give them ears to hear when the time comes, when they ask the questions. Let them seek and find. Make those divine appointments for us, we pray, that we would have every opportunity to do what we need to while there is still time, and to build a place as we come out. Abba, all this we ask in your set-apart name. Guide us. Help us to be counted worthy to escape these things that are so clearly coming and are increasingly almost here. Help us to be found doing your work when you return. And Abba, we pray above all that we would be good and faithful servants unto you and dwell in your house forever. This we ask in your set-apart name, your real name, for you are our King, our Savior, our Mashiach. You are the salvation of Yah, Yahushua. You are Yahuwah Zedeknu, Yahuwah Vitzivenu, Yahuwah Zevuot, our one true healer, Yahuwah Rapha, our banner, Yahuwah Nisi. You are all sufficient, our El Shaddai. We thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Amen. And Bo Mashiach. Let's begin to wrap up the live portion today with the Aharonic blessing. We remember that Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak and turn to Aharon and his sons, and say to them, 'This is how you bless the B'nai Yisrael.' Say to them, 'Yivarekka Yahuwah v'arishmarekka, Ya'er Yahuwah panavaleka v'ichneka, Isa Yahuwah.'" May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah make his face to shine upon you. May Yahuwah lift his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Amen. And thus he said, "They shall put Shemi, my name, on the B'nai Yisrael, and I myself shall bless them." And may it be so.